Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. We're going to celebrate the Lord's table together, everybody. The Lord has given us two things he's asked us to do, as we call them sacraments in the church. They're simply this, that we would be baptized after we believe in Christ. That's a public statement of our faith in Christ. And then the second thing is that we would gather around a table and simply take bread and wine and pass it around and remember the body and the blood of Jesus. In fact, Paul reminds the Corinthians about it. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" It's a constant remembrance. So that's what we're doing right now. As we approach the Lord's table, let's pray together. Shall we pray? Would you all pray with me? Lord Jesus, here we all are. We are sinners, Lord. Everyone in this room deserves far worse than what we have. We don't deserve to be your children. We don't deserve to be looking forward to life now and forevermore because of it. But Lord, you loved us so much, you sent the Son. You sent Jesus to take the penalty of our sin, to take it away and to make us your children. And that is eternal and forever. And so we all realize none of us have anything that we haven't been given. And we recognize you, Jesus, as the great giver, the one who gave your life the one who did this for us. Lord, you know the things we're struggling with, and we don't think we can fix ourselves, but we sure admit the truth about the sin in each of our own lives. You know those secret things, and we ask for your forgiveness and your help as you continue to change us. But thank you that we ask for this from the position of security, because you died for us, and it's your finished work that made this happen, not our righteousness. Would you bless your people now as we remember and we pass these simple instruments around to remember these elements. In Jesus' name, amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, gentlemen. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Pastor Gall, would you pray for us?
Father, we can't thank you enough for all you've done. And so, Father, we're excited because of what you've done. We know what you're going to do. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Rest here. I know that you've been through an awful storm. I was with you. Don't fear. I'll sit right here beside you, and no harm will befall you. We both know you must soon be on your way again. The path is steep, the way not always clear. I'll wake you when it's time to go, my weary friend. You'll be up again. Rest here, just lay that heavy burden at my feet. I'll never leave you. Rest here, I'll watch all your worries while you sleep. I will watch you too. I see you've got a wound or two we'll have to tend, but surely nothing time and grace won't heal. So just be still and let me get to work, my friend. You'll be up again. Rest here. You could face your biggest battle yet. I'll fight for you. Rest here, just gather up your strength, but don't you fret. I'm right beside you. Though testing and temptation lurk along the way, though you may stumble, I've prayed for you. And though new struggles seem to grow up every day, I will guard your way. So for today, rest here. Rest here.
Born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, came here to take on the greatest enemy of mankind, death itself. He took death for each of us, died in our place, and triumphed over the grave by his own resurrection. If you believe that, take the bread and eat it. And then the Lord took the cup. He said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." Pastor Gall's going to pray for us one more time to Pastor King.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the efficacy or the work of the blood in our lives.
Yes.
We realize, Lord, that because of the blood of Christ, you look at us with the same favor as you do Jesus. We thank you in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Desert of countless sorrow, I will cling to his hand today and fear not for tomorrow. In my heart, this song I declare my choice. I will walk where the shepherd leads and heed no other voice. In the chill of my darkest hour, I am saved from my deep despair. For the Father who loves his children hears my earnest
us from all sin. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. Let's do one more song here. Since we're here, let's try right.
Some glad morning when this life is over.
Let's open our Bibles, if you would, a couple different places. I want to talk to you for just a couple of minutes, if I could. Ephesians chapter 2, the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. Let's pray, and then we're going to read God's Word. Let's pray together. Lord, you gave us the book. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for its reliability. Thank you that it is true and preserved for us today. And we ask that you'd open the Scriptures and our hearts and minds at the same time, and our wills at the same time. And line us up. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Listen to this. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no man can boast. I'm going to read it. Let me give you a different, it means the same thing, but from a different translation. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this isn't your own doing. It is the gift of God. Great statement. And then Romans chapter 1,
Verse 16, I am not ashamed, Paul says. I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people over the years. And they told me they believed this. They believed that Jesus was the historic one who came as God in the flesh and died for our sins and was resurrected from the dead. I said, you believe that? Yes, absolutely. I said, why don't you trust Christ? Uh-uh. Why? Why won't you put your faith in Jesus? Because I don't think I can be that good. I don't think I can pull it off. I don't think I have it in me to live up to this. You know, really? Something. Maybe you came from a tradition, a religious Christian tradition that didn't teach you the gospel. Isn't that interesting? That we would talk about Jesus and all that, but when it gets to the basics of what it is that God has done for the human race, we mess it up. And let's say you were baptized as a child. Some of you come from that tradition. We baptize adults here. We dedicate children here. But some people go through that. Other people, though, I mean, they do that as a form of dedication of their children. But in some Christian groups, they baptize children and they say the baptism is their salvation. And then it's up to them to have faith and live it out, or they're not a Christian. They're not saved. They're not forgiven. How is that good news? Okay, because if it's up to me, I'm going to mess it up right on cue. And you are too. R.C. Sproul said, if we could lose our salvation, we would. Okay? And it's true. It's true. Let me help you with the confusion about this. It's a really interesting way of religious groups to hold on to people and control their lives by telling them, in order to go to heaven, you have to come to church every Sunday, and you have to give money, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and all those things. And they say that Christ purchased our salvation, and after our baptism, it's up to us to earn it. Well, that's anathema. That is not the gospel. Good news. Are you kidding me? That's not good news, because I'll mess it up right on time. So I've got a couple things I want to say to you about this. Maybe you've been struggling with this. And I just want to tell you a couple things. We always talk about forgiveness, that when we come to Christ, that we are forgiven. The scriptures teach us that so clearly. And that's so true. But that's only half of the message of salvation. There's another part that you need to know about. Let me tell you about the other part. Do you know that when you come to Christ and trust Him as your Savior, you're forgiven for your sins? But is it up to you to keep yourself? Is it up to you to somehow do all the right things and somehow keep God happy with you so He doesn't throw you away? I forgave your past, God could say to us, but now change your life, fix yourself, keep yourself saved. I'm telling you, that's a scary thought to me. The Bible tells us that we're not left in neutral when we come to Christ. I mean, forgiven up to that point. The Bible says that forgiveness is forever. It's an eternal thing. And it was purchased not by our works, but by the blood of Jesus on that cross. Again, I'm going to read to you Romans chapter 1. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. For it is written, the righteous will live by faith. When you trusted in Christ, there was something else given to you besides just forgiveness, which is wonderful. You were given the gift of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let's look at a couple portions of the scripture. Romans chapter 5. Just go with me there. We'll look at those quickly and I'll show what I mean. Romans chapter 5, verse 19 goes like this. For just as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners. We know what we're talking about there, Adam. He fell and the whole human race fell, right? Well, look at this. Also through the obedience of the one man, Jesus, the many will be made righteous. Okay, I didn't ask to live in a fallen world, did you? Now, I did a bunch of bad stuff too, but I was born a sinner. It was given to me. It was put on me from Adam, just like it was from you. It's the curse that's on the human race. Well, since the death and resurrection of Jesus, His righteousness has now been put on you. Let me look at another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made Him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Do you see that? Listen, it's not just being forgiven. It's been given the righteousness of Jesus to maintain us all the way through till we get home. My friend Glenda, she's so sweet. She's a widow. She's a widow. Her husband took care of everything. You know, he took care of all the cars, all the mechanical stuff, all that stuff, and he up and died on her. And she was just lost. You know, she didn't know what to do. She had neighbors helping, and friends and family helping her with things. And she didn't have a lot of money. So one day, her family chipped together and bought her a brand new Buick. And she, beautiful car, beautiful car. You know what she did? She worried every minute of every day, had all kinds of sleepless nights that somehow she didn't know how to take care of this car, because the car thing has never been hers. She doesn't know when to get the oil changed, the tires rotated, when to go through for the checkups. She didn't know anything about any of that. She's going to destroy this. She's been given this great gift, and now she's going to wreck it. It's going to turn into a heap. They're going to know she's awful, that she doesn't know anything. One day, she had dropped off a granddaughter at a dance recital, and she stayed in her car for a little while the little girl was getting with her dance team. So she had some time on her hands. She pulled out the book, this book that she had. It had a warranty book with it. Do you know those people bought her a complete warranty, maintenance warranty for this car? I mean, and there's a note, Grandma, when it needs service, call me. I'll come and get it. They'll take care of it. It's a maintenance agreement. We have a maintenance agreement because of what Jesus did. It's just not being forgiven. It's being given his righteousness. When God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin. He doesn't count it against you. Jesus took that for you. Now, it's not an excuse to just go do more dumb things. But at the same time, he took it for us. That should move us to even greater faithfulness. But Glenda, she found out she wasn't left in neutral on this car, that there was a maintenance program. You're not left alone. You're not left in neutral to work it all out on your own, okay? You're not. Second of all, I've had so many people tell me Jesus changed my life, and that is so true. There are so many stories in this room. By the way, we got to start having some testimonies. Amen. About people's lives and what Jesus has done in so many lives sitting in this room right here. It's incredible, the stories. It's incredible. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus just didn't change your life. Your life hasn't been changed. Your life has been exchanged. His life for your life. He took yours. You took his. What a beautiful exchange. Let me read to you Romans chapter 3. These are just great stuff, you guys. And I know it's basic, but we've got to cling to this or we're going to have a whole lot of trouble. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, earning it by religious stuff, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness comes from God, comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. Go back to the verse 22. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. There's two ways to translate this, and they're both true. You received it when you trusted in Christ. But there's another thing. It says this comes through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Isn't that an interesting other way to translate that statement? He bought it. He did it. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Get this. Romans 5, 17. But the trespass came from one man, Adam. Death reigned through that one man. And how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Let me give you Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. It says this. He says, I want to know Christ, Paul said. But then in verse 9, and to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Given to you. You've had that other half of it and didn't even realize it. When you were in school, did you ever read Mark Twain, that great writer? About 1881, there was a story released that he had been writing during his time of writing Huckleberry Finn. He wrote The Prince and the Pauper. Tom was a little boy that lived on the outskirts of London in squalor, who had an alcoholic, abusive father. And Edward was the Prince of Wales. These boys looked alike and were born on the same day. They meet one another by chance. The guards want to chase Tom away, but Edward is so amazed at this young man looking like him. He welcomes him into one of the royal chambers, and they talk, and they become friends. And they decide to exchange lives. And the prince puts on the filthy clothes of Tom, and Tom puts on the royal robes of the Prince of Wales. And Edward goes back and finds Tom's house and lives under the abuse of that father. Why, Tom lives in Edward's royalty. That is exactly what happened to you when you came to Jesus Christ. He took our old life and gave us his new life. It's just true. Jesus did that for us. Okay, so you weren't left in neutral, okay? You've been given the righteousness of Christ. And he didn't change your life. Your life wasn't changed. It was exchanged. And then one more thing. So what? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you so what. Let me tell you this. Since this is true, stop thinking you're lost every time you fail. Stop berating yourself and going through the agony of thinking you got to go through all this whole thing all over again. You are already right in the eyes of the Father. In fact, did I write something else down? God declares us to be righteous based not on our actual performance, but based on the condition of Christ's performance and righteousness. So let's stop beating ourselves up. Listen, we need to deal with our junk. We need to start living according to the scriptures. But the guilt and the shame that we add to it by thinking we're not righteous in Christ just beats the heck out of us. There's no reason for you to torture yourself. I read Ephesians as we were beginning, and I'll read it again. For it is by grace, that's God's free gift, you've been saved through faith, and this is not your doing. It is the gift of God. Listen, quit thinking you're going to tip God. You just need to give up and live in what he's given you to act on that. Quit. Don't beat yourself up. The key to real change in our life is this, being secure and loved. Being shamed and beaten up by our guilt does not change anything. It's destructive. So now we stand knowing we've been forgiven and given the righteousness of Jesus. And we look at our lives and we look at those things that are against the scriptures in our lives, that sin and all the stuff that besets us. And we have the position of security to say, get out of here and tell the truth about our addictions and move on. My dad used to work the golf course in Florida. He loved getting out of the house. My mother was lovely. My mother was gentle. My mother was kind, but every man's got to get out of that house, girls, right? You want him to go too, right? Please, don't you have somewhere to go? You know, you retire, and he said, I retired, and there I am. It's just us all day. I can't take it. You know, that's what he said. So he got jobs at the golf course. He was loading bags, talking to people from all over the world. He said there were these kids that showed up, these three boys with their dad, and they were three of the most wonderful young men I have ever met. And so they said to my dad, how about playing with us? You know, there's not much going on. And, my dad had met him a couple times before. You know, Mr. Hampton, why don't you play with us? We'll do a five-some. I know that's not supposed to happen, but there's nobody out here today. Come, we can play together. So my dad got to ride with one of these kids. Found out the kid was homeschooled. He said, these are the most brilliant children I've ever been around. Respectful, kind, neat. They had all the qualities. He said, I'm convinced the reason they have the qualities, he says, I saw why, because their mother came for lunch at the clubhouse. And here is this wonderful woman who loves her kids, and this dad who loves his wife and his kids. And these kids have this security that they're living in, and they could become what they're becoming because of that. It's such a beautiful thing from a position of security. You have been given the very standing of Jesus before God. He loves you. Don't beat yourself up anymore. You think about that. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Come on. Let's pray together, friends, shall we? Lord, here we all are. You know these struggles. And you know that we have an enemy that loves to roar around us and tell us that it's not true for us, that we didn't do this salvation thing right. And so we really don't belong. He's such a liar, Lord. That's all he can do. If his lips are moving, he's lying. And so, Lord, we are here to say we agree with you. We cannot even begin to grasp this love that you have for us, and we can't even begin to grasp all that you have done. So much that we don't tap into, so much we don't cling to. Father, would you please help us to not be beggars anymore? Would you help us to not be street kids that are trying to work the religious system, but to accept this full forgiveness from you and this gift of righteousness that we have before you because of what you did. Thank you for your people here. And Lord, I have friends of mine here today. They probably don't even think this is for them because they're not good. Well, that is true of everybody in this room. And my friend, you need to put your faith in Christ. If you're afraid that you can't live it out, welcome to the club. You can't. He already lived it out for you, and the Spirit of God is going to move into your life if you'll trust Christ, and He's going to help you. So why don't you just give up and say, Lord Jesus, I am lost, and you are the Savior. I have run away, and you came after me. I believe you. Thank you for dying for me. I ask you to be my Savior and come into my heart and life. I give my life to you. Thank you for loving me. Lord Jesus, I ask that you'd help all of those who are saying that here in this room, but those who are saying that listening through other means. Father, bless and help everybody in the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.